Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the stadium vote went 11-2 in favor. I think that's it. That should be it, unless there's a third vote we don't know about. Seemed like needless drama yesterday, it would seem to me. Why wasn't the vote, by the way, taken in August? Why wasn't that the one that counted the most? Lots of shenanigans, I guess, yesterday with the city council. They definitely irked Washington's front office, Mark Klaus, I'm sure Josh Harris and company, but all's well that ends well. I thought it had ended a month ago, but it is now final. Washington heading back to RFK. The second time in the last few months we have felt this joy that we are heading back to RFK. Have you seen the pictures of the demolition of RFK Stadium? Definitely. I have felt, in looking at some of those pictures, I have felt nostalgic looking at those photos. You know, that gets you if you are of a certain age and you experienced RFK Stadium for football games in particular. And there were lots of other events. But it was, and we've talked about it for many, many years, it was truly one of those places. You know, the description of stadiums, iconic stadiums, the word cathedral is always used. And it did feel at times like a religious experience on so many days, so many nights. For so many of us, the memories that get conjured up in our minds and in our hearts when you think about some of those days and nights, man, nothing was ever like it. Nothing. Any game against Dallas was 10x the electricity, 20x the electricity. There was nothing like that stadium for a late 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon or a Monday night game against the Cowboys. I mean, the buzz, the decibel level, the bloodthirst because of the rivalry and the disgust and the disdain and the hatred for the Cowboys, and at the same time, the unity among all that were in that stadium, 55,035, I mean, it impacted the game. It really did. That was a true 12th man. I mean, over the years, you know, long after RFK had shut down for football and FedEx had opened, you know, there were stories that would come out from Giant players, Eagle players, but the Cowboy players in particular were the most vocal in their memories of RFK. You know, I remember Danny White, Tony Dorsett, Randy White, Drew Pearson, all talking about the feeling of walking up those steps out of that locker room that they were in that end zone, which was, you know, for baseball, it was at one point when the Senators were there, the visitors' dugout. The Skins came out of the Senators' dugout. Now, once baseball was gone, there were no more dugouts. There was no more baseball diamond. You know, there was a period of time where Washington would play games with the infield, you know, in the coming across part of the field. Now, the Senators left in 71, so didn't have that afterwards. But the Cowboys, when they would talk about walking up those steps and out into that cathedral, and the chants of "We want Dallas," they said it would make the hair on the back of their neck stand up. But it was also so incentivizing because they would talk about, what it was like to go in there and play well and hear the decibel level drop to a level in which you could hear a pin drop. Because I'll never forget a Monday night game. This was after the championship game in 82. So they play in January 83, the Cowboys in the NFC Championship. Everybody's familiar with that game. It is by far and away, and I've said this 200 times since I've been doing this show, it is the single most electric environment for a sporting event I have ever been in, ever. Nothing has ever come close to that, and I've been to fights in Vegas and Super Bowls and championship games. I'll tell you, for a Maryland guy, Cole Fieldhouse at times was really something else, but nothing like that day. The stadium completely filled 45 minutes before kickoff. Not an empty seat in the arena for a game that kicked off, I think, at 12:30 Eastern. And the place was nuts all game long. But the following season, after Washington beat the Cowboys and then went on to win Super Bowl 17 against Miami, the league did what they did many, many times, which is Washington and Dallas on Monday Night Football to open up the season. Washington versus Dallas was not only the number one rivalry in the NFL in the 70s, 80s, and really into the early 90s, and maybe through the 90s until it became clear that Washington was a sinking franchise and the number of important games were diminished. They just didn't happen that often. And all of this, you know, all of a sudden Baltimore came into the league, Baltimore, Pittsburgh became a big deal, you know, and we had some others. You know, Dallas clearly had this thing with the 49ers in the 90s. They had, you know, an ongoing thing with the Eagles. You know, we understand all that. But there was nothing close to Washington Dallas for about 25 years. You know, from about 1971 when George Allen arrived here until at least the mid-90s, there was no rivalry better than Washington-Dallas in the NFL, and most people would have had it ranked in the top five rivalries in all of North American sports. Seriously, Army-Navy, Ohio State-Michigan, Iron Bowl, Lakers-Celtics, Cowboys-Redskins. I mean, that would be, you know, those would be, they were in that category. And so Monday Night Football, Washington and Dallas opened up against each other on Monday Night Football. I don't know, it's probably 6-7 times in history. I think that it is the most, it's the game that has appeared the most in prime time, whether it's Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night football. I think Denver Raiders is number two. I could look that up. Maybe that's changed in the last few years. But for many years, Washington-Dallas was the number one matchup in prime time going back to the introduction of Monday Night Football in 1970. The opener in 83 at RFK Stadium. This game was famous for Howard Cosell calling Alvin Garrett that little monkey. Remember that? And there was a big hullabaloo over that. Howard was such a progressive. He was so good for, you know, so many people that were minorities. Ali, the relationship, he was forgiven for that. And it was a slip up and he was forgiven for it. But it made major headlines. But the game itself, it was, you know, the Super Bowl, Doc, Riggo, Theismann, Jake, all of them will tell you, the Super Bowl was anticlimactic after the NFC Championship. Beating Dallas in the 82 season, January 83 championship game at home was bigger and felt bigger than winning the Super Bowl. It really did. So when we got to the opener of the 83 season, it was the rematch of the NFC title game. It was Redskins-Cowboys opening up the season. And remember, 82 was a strike-shortened season. They only played 9 regular season games. So there were a lot of people that thought that Washington's Super Bowl in 82, Super Bowl 17, was a bit fraudulent because the 49ers had won it the year before, and teams just, you know, never got into a rhythm in a short sprint 9-game season. Washington went during that 9-game season 8-1. Their only loss, by the way, was a regular season loss to the Cowboys. So they open up, and now we're going to play a full season, 16. Well, Washington's not going to be the team. Dallas is going to be the team. And Washington sprints out to a 23-3 halftime lead. The place was insane. It was an insane asylum before the game. You know, the defending champs opening up on Monday Night Football against their heated rival. That game almost equaled the championship game in terms of the electricity, the buildup, the whole thing. And the Skins were on fire. Theismann to Charlie Brown, Theismann to Monk, Riggo. They're rolling the Cowboys, blowing them out on national television, 23-3. Well, the Cowboys roared back from 20 down at halftime. And they came back, and Danny White hit Tony Hill on two bombs for touchdowns. And that's where I was headed with this, which is Cowboys, former Cowboys talked about there was nothing better than coming into RFK and quieting the crowd. And you could hear a pin drop on the last, I'm going back to look at the how long of a bomb it was. Hold on for 1 second. So 23-3 at halftime, all right? And a 75-yard touchdown pass from Danny White to Tony Hill in the third quarter made it 23-10. And then a 51-yard bomb from Danny White to Tony Hill made it 23-17. Then the Cowboys got the ball back again. They drove and they won, and they took the lead, a lead they never gave up. They ended up winning the game 31-30. And the place, that was by the way, there was something incredibly compelling about how it could be so loud and then just so quiet. And by the way, back then, you might get literally 100 Cowboy fans. Maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was 200 Cowboy fans scattered throughout. You didn't hear them. And by the way, they didn't want to be heard because it would be a rough night for them, especially after they won the game. Theismann threw for 325 in that game, two touchdowns, and Danny White only completed 9 passes out of 20 attempts, but for 193 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that started off a season in which Washington and Dallas would meet up later in the season, both teams being 12-2. Meeting in the next to last week of the regular season. That is the game often referred to as the fatigues game, where the Skins showed up in military fatigues off the plane, onto the buses, and they went in a matchup between 12-2 and 12-2. The two best records in the NFL, the two best teams in the NFL playing for the NFC East title and the one seed throughout the NFC playoffs. You know, the winner was likely to go on to the Super Bowl. Yeah, the 49ers were there, and Washington would eventually beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. And Washington beat the Cowboys 31-10. This was the famous, you know, Everson Walls, Dennis Thurman, Michael Downs trying to break up the fun bunch in the end zone. But they went in and kicked Dallas's ass. So they ended up splitting the two games. But Dallas winning that opening Monday night game was crazy. Washington's 83 team, I think, is the best offensive team. I mean, you could debate it with 91. I think 91's the all-time best team. I don't really think it's a debate. They were, you know, DVOA pencils them out as the all-time greatest team, although I think that's been supplanted recently by not the 85 Bears, not the 07 Patriots. There may be another team. They went back and did a lot of other seasons going back to the 50s. Anyway, it may have been a Packers team that ended up being the number one overall DVOA team. I think 91 by far and away is the greatest Washington team of all time. But the 83 offense set the mark for the most points in a season in NFL history. Their two losses during their 14-2 season was that season opening Monday night loss to the Cowboys 31-30. And then a famous 48-47 Monday night loss at Lambeau. They lost two games by 2 points. They crushed the Rams 51-7 in the divisional round. held on for dear life in what was a very controversial game for 49ers fans in particular, beating the Niners 24-21. And then, of course, they got run out of the building in Tampa in Super Bowl 18 by the LA Raiders. But, yeah, seeing the photos of RFK being dismantled, you knew that day was coming. You know, I have certainly had occasion over the years to drive by the stadium, and every time you drive by it and you look at it, you're like, wow. But it was an eyesore. It had turned into an eyesore, as had that entire property. That's what makes so much sense about the return to D.C. But when you see that stadium coming down, man, I remember when the Nats came to town. It was just fun to go back to RFK. I know that you could have gone back to RFK for soccer games. I just didn't. I wasn't really much of a soccer guy. But when the Nats came back, I remember going to at least a half dozen to a dozen games. And I would walk up to my old seats, to our old seats at RFK. 513, row 13, seats 1, 2, 3. About the 10-yard line behind the Redskins bench upper deck, there wasn't a bad seat in that stadium. Wasn't. If you want to, you know, weigh in with your feelings that RFK is done, they're going back, you know, this voting thing seems a little bit anticlimactic yesterday. I mean, I felt like really excited a month ago or whenever it was, 6 weeks ago. But whatever, delayed excitement, you know, now it's final. But if you want to weigh in with how you're feeling, if you've seen those RFK photos, if you've seen RFK being, you know, dismantled, demolished, with maybe your favorite memory or two of RFK Stadium, 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll take some calls on that. On the show today, Denton's going to join us at 10:35 to talk some college football. Charch will be with us during the 11 o'clock hour to talk fantasy. We've got a game tonight, Buffalo hosting Miami. I might have, at the end of the show, a smell test pick on the game tonight. We're certainly going to get into the fact that Jaden missed practice yesterday. And then we heard from Marcus Mariota. We heard from Dan Quinn. We carried that live on the show yesterday. But we'll talk about the buildup here towards the Raiders on Sunday. But if you've got an RFK memory or two as the stadium is being dismantled and demolished, and you want to call, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The 72 championship game, Kev, was better. It was New Year's Eve, and it was a party unlike any I've ever been to. Thank you for that, Tom. I appreciate that. A lot of you tweeting in. Phone lines are open. RFK is being demolished. It is being taken down sort of piece by piece. I don't know if you've seen the pictures. I will tweet out some of the pictures that I've seen. In fact, I just retweeted one of them right now. And look, in 5-6 years, we'll have a beautiful new stadium and a beautiful new area in town. And I think, actually, for me, in many ways, as a D.C. resident, just being able to do that to that area of town will be so great for the city. I don't know how it pencils out ultimately, you know, how much the team and Harris and company benefit from this more so than the city or vice versa, but I have a feeling it'll be an ultimate win-win for both. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Yes, the 72 championship game, New Year's Eve, 1972, a mild night. Earlier in the day, the Dolphins had beaten the Steelers in Pittsburgh, by the way. These were the 72 Dolphins. You know, one of the interesting facts about the NFL in the early 70s is there wasn't home field advantage in the playoffs. There was a rotation of divisional host situation. So, you know, Washington got lucky in that they ended up playing a wild card team in Dallas. Dallas was a wild card team in 72, but the NFC East was actually supposed to host regardless as long as it was in the NFC Championship game. But the Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated 72 Dolphins, had to play the AFC Championship game in Three Rivers at Pittsburgh. Because it was that particular year was AFC Central. That's what the division was called back then. The AFC Central, it was their year to host the AFC Championship game if one of their teams, a division winner, Pittsburgh was, made it. So Miami won early in the day, and then Washington on a very mild, damp New Year's Eve, weather was not a factor, destroyed Dallas 26-3 and went on to Super Bowl VII to face the Dolphins. Yeah, both times Washington beat the Cowboys in the NFC title game. They went on to face Miami in the Super Bowl. Lost Super Bowl VII, won Super Bowl XVII. All right, 301-230-0980. The RFK thing is done, finally, we think. I'm pretty sure this second vote, for whatever, you know, for whatever reason it needed to take place, it did take place 11-2. They only needed 7 this time. They only needed simple majority. Last time they needed 2/3, and they got 2/3 last time. It's a done deal. The agreement between the city and the team, by the way, these additional amendments were not voted on that the city council came to the team with in the 11th hour. I don't know if some of that stuff will get worked out on the side or whether or not it will be, you know, put into the agreement as an amendment, but it was not voted on yesterday. And so we'll see what happens moving forward. Hopefully no hard feelings, just business. And they move forward together to get this deal done. But at the same time, RFK is coming down. I just retweeted, if you want to go to at Kevin Sheehan DC to see some of the pictures of what RFK looks like there in the final stages of the demolition. Some memories of RFK Stadium. Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. I think we're probably pretty close to the same age, but we had seats in 527. And I had a lot of memories back from those days.
Yeah.
Two that were standout-ish. One was when Larry Brown broke the 1,000-yard mark. I think he was the first Redskin to ever do it. And they stopped the game. They gave him a ball. And, I mean, he always looked like a warrior. He was beat up.
He always did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. The other time was, it was a Monday night game, and it was the I Like Sonny, Billy era.
Yeah.
And we were down. Kilmer was quarterbacking. They brought Sonny in.
Yeah.
We went ahead, and then on the last play of the game,
Walt Garrison.
I'm not sure if it was Randy White, but threw a pass to Walt Garrison on the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
And Kenny Houston nailed him and stopped him, and the Skins won. That stadium was unbelievably insane. I couldn't talk for a week after that game. But those were two of my most
memories. The Ken Houston tackle of Walt Garrison right before he was about to cross the goal line on the final play of the game is one of the true memorable, iconic plays in Cowboy Redskin history. You know, that tackle, Ken Houston was such a great player. He's in his first year. It's early in the 73 season. They're playing on Monday Night Football, of course. And they had played in the NFC Championship game the year before. And as you said, the Cowboys were up 7-0. Sonny came into the game. He threw a touchdown pass, I think, to Charlie Taylor. And then Brig Owens picked off a Craig Morton pass. Craig Morton was the quarterback on that final play. He's the one that threw it to Walt Garrison. And yeah, that place insane that night. And Sonny was incredible in that game. Yeah, good one, Greg. Thanks for that.
We were in the stands. We were in the lower stands that were on springs and wheels. And I mean, they were just going up and down. It was just, I get chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, that game, it's very interesting. There's so many Washington-Dallas games available on YouTube, as they were called by CBS, by ABC, who had Monday Night Football. But that game doesn't exist anywhere in terms of the actual call. You can find portions of the 72 championship game on CBS, but you can't find that game. And that was a big-time matchup, Dallas-Washington on Monday Night Football. In fact, that's the first time they ever played. I believe it's the first time they ever played on Monday Night Football. Look that up, Max. Just Google Skins Cowboys Monday Night Football history and see if the first game was the 1973 14-7 game. Skip, go ahead.
Hello, Kevin.
What's up, Skip?
You know which one I'm going to mention. My first NFL game ever. I was a kid. My uncle, he was a bit of a hustler. He got me a ticket, took a cab. Parents put me in a cab, went to the game. Giants versus Redskins, 1966.
Wow. That game.
The highest scoring game ever.
Still in NFL history. Yeah. Still it is. It still is.
Second is the Chiefs and
Rams.
And Rams game.
Yeah.
Okay. That everybody knows about. So this game, it's an interesting game because they scored 72 points. Jurgensen, only who, you know, had many very high yardage games, but not this one. Only 145 yards passing. However, 124 of those yards were to the great Hall of Famer Charlie Taylor, who had two long touchdowns. Bobby Mitchell had a touchdown. But they also had defensive touchdowns. That's where they got the number of points.
Well, the famous story about that game, which Sam Huff told many, many times over and over again. Go ahead.
Let me tell it. I was going to save that for him. But Brig Owens had an interception return and two other interceptions. He had a total of three interceptions, the late, great Brig Owens. And also Ricky Harris had a punt return.
Yeah.
But the most memorable part of the game was the end, which I stayed to the very end. And it was 69-41. They were driving. The second-string quarterback was in the game. And Sam Huff, who had just been traded from the Giants, the great Hall of Famer Sam Huff, he wanted to stick it to his old team. And he told the coach, kick a field goal. Normally, they would just run out the clock, kick a field goal.
Yeah, Otto Graham was the coach.
Otto Graham, yes, the great Hall of Famer Graham was our coach at the time. And he went to him and said, kick the field goal. Rub it in.
Right.
You know, Sam, if anybody knows Sam Huff, that sounds just like him, right?
It does. He told that story so many times. It was Charlie Gogolak, the first soccer-style kicker that kicked the field goal. By the way, I'm looking at the box score where they have what the point spread was. Washington that day was a 17-point favorite over the Giants. The Giants were terrible. They were 1-8-1. Washington was 5-6 going into the game. By the way, Skip, Washington Giants still the highest scoring NFL game of all time. The one you went to, November 27th, 1966, 72-41, 113 points total. Number two is not the Rams Chiefs. Number two is Bengals Browns in 2004. Cincinnati won 58-48, 106 points, and then Rams Chiefs is the third highest, that Monday night 54-51 game. Thanks, Skip. Let me get to some others. Jimmy in Silver Spring. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's up, man?
What's up, Jimmy?
I remember I'm calling about that Monday night game. I have a personal story.
The Cowboys skins 83 Monday night game?
Yes. We were at a house party. My friend had a house party, and Vernon Dean drives up in his burgundy Porsche with his supermodel girlfriend, and all night long he's talking about, yeah, check me out, check me out, check me out, Monday night, the Cowboys, the Cowboys. Well, of course, what you didn't mention in those two,
Vernon Dean was on Tony Hill?
Yeah, twice. And after that game, I don't know if you remember this, but after that game, the Redskins were known as the Pearl Harbor Crew. Do you remember that?
No, yeah. All year long, they were the Pearl Harbor Crew.
Right,
that was the irony of that. Yeah, they plus 42 in the turnover margin, all-time record, the 83 Skins. But they gave up, 48 to the Packers, 31 to the Cowboys, 35 to the Raiders, 38 to the Raiders in the title game. They got torched all season long. That's why I'll never say, some guys that played on the 83 team think it was better than the 82 team and better than the 91 team. It was not better than the 91 team. The 91 team's defense was absolute shutdown. They shut out three of their first five opponents in 91.
Hey, man, like I said, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I just remember Vernon Dean, and I remember his hot girlfriend and his hot car talking all that smack and then getting used like toilet paper. Love the show, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff in Vienna. Jeff, RFK stories, nostalgic stories as RFK is being torn down. And the stadium agreement, the Stadium Act, was finalized yesterday. Go ahead.
Kevin, mine are more music related. I will say that as a non-Commanders fan, that Summer All Madden opening anytime there's a game at RFK was just off the charts.
The best.
Oh, it was so amazing. Couple quick music anecdotes. Stone Steel Wheels Tour 89,
yep.
My buddy's sister worked in one of the concession stands, and she goes, come on, walk with me. And we started walking down those ramps underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
And we turned the corner. I'm standing next to some 6 foot tall, greatest looking woman I've ever seen in my life, Jerry Hall.
Jerry Hall.
And we
Mick
were
Jaggers.
We were directly behind the stage. They finished the last note of Brown Sugar. They went right in front of me, like 15 feet away in the van and out of the stadium. And in 93, Sting was opener on the Dead Tour that year.
Yeah.
And I was backstage. He was screaming at the top of his lungs at the stage manager that he wasn't turned up loud enough in the mix.
Right.
He was having a total meltdown backstage, and it was just so entertaining.
Jeff, I went to a lot of concerts at RFK too, a lot of HFS festivals, but the noise for concerts, the stadium was built in such a way that the noise was retained in the stadium. It didn't get out. I mean, I saw the Jackson's Victor, the Jackson 5 Victory Tour. That was insanity.
I
saw U2 on the Zoo TV Tour in 92, probably.
I saw Genesis there,
so many people there that I remember. But I remember how loud it was for concerts.
Right. And July 4th, 1990, Paul McCartney on 4th of July was crazy good.
Okay.
And for me, the easiest thing was climbing off the metro, make a right-hand turn, you make another right-hand turn, and you're walking, and you're right there, right in the front door. I never drove there because it was just too easy to take the metro.
Yeah, and when you would get to the stadium, I've had people kind of reminisce this way too. It's like as you're walking up those ramps, to get to whatever level, and then you get to that opening where you can see, as you're walking through that tunnel to get out to the stadium, and then you look down on the field, and it was just spectacular. Like I've said this before, I can still put myself back in that stadium and feel it and smell it. Like, we were all there so many times. It's just part of the whole thing. Yeah, incredible. Good stories, Jeff. Ron in D.C. Ron, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey, back in the day, my pops was a beer vendor for Budweiser at RFK for B&B Catering. So when I was old enough, to about 12 or 13, to sell sodas and hot dogs, I never missed a game at that point. I don't think that was back in 89, 90.
Yeah.
First game was a Cowboy game, and last game was a Cowboy game at the stadium. My only regret is that I didn't have my camera that last game at RFK.
Yeah.
We beat the Cowboys, and we ran out on the field. But my favorite game was that I think it was a Monday night game where Troy Aikman got sacked in the end zone.
And that was not a Monday night game. That was 92, Skins defending champs. Cowboys would ultimately win the Super Bowl. This is a big part of that, you know, that Cowboys Netflix documentary. That game was a massive game for Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson to come into RFK and in 91, they beat the Skins. 92, they were on their way to the division title. And Aikman got sacked. Jason Buck, he tried to push it to Emmitt Smith in the end zone. And Danny Copeland came out of the pile with it. And Washington won a crazy finish. And it ultimately, was the game that Washington needed to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, nobody knew who had the ball. I remember that.
Yeah,
had the ball.
Exactly.
At the yard line, raising it up in the air.
Exactly. So
now as a D.C. police officer, I still live and work in the area. So I've been seeing the demolition of the stadium. And I swear, every time I drive past it every day, I got those memories of old RFK.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. This, by the way, from Ernie, Giant fan, Raul Alegre. Do you remember? Yes, I do. That was another one of those silencing moments. Skins opened up the 89 season or 88 season? 89 season against the Giants on Monday Night Football. Washington was a mainstay opening up seasons on Monday Night Football. They did it many times. And it was a back-and-forth game, an incredible game. This is the height of Washington Giants, all right, because the Cowboys had sloughed off. They were at the beginning of the Jerry era, and Raul Alegre made a 52-yard field goal at the gun to beat Washington on opening night 27-24, and it was silence. Silence. I do remember that very well. Thank you for that, kind of. Steve in Houston. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Goon?
What's up? What are you doing, man?
Hey, man, going down memory lane, man. Dude, I got two. I have one recent. I have an RFK, and I have a Northwest Stadium. Do I need to be comfortable and just talk about RFK?
Yeah, it's RFK here today, Steve.
Okay, I'll be coachable. dude, my man Jaron and I, another Carroll grad like your dad, Archbishop Carroll, salute. 1995, we go to, what was that, against Detroit Lions.
Yeah, is this the Darryl Green pick six in overtime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the game was exciting overtime. I think it was 30-30. And for whatever bonehead reason, we left. I don't know why we left, because overtime,
right.
All of a sudden, we're walking in the parking lot, and we just hear the crowd. Wah! It was just like 4th of July, based on the sound of the crowd. And we were like, dude, you mean to tell me we're all in the parking lot, near Benning Road, and we left? And then, I guess we were on the train talking to some people and found out later when we got home that these Darryl Green picked it off and we actually won. Dude, we were so blown and so disappointed and excited at the same time.
Yeah,
but
right.
Unfortunately,
right,
we
right.
had missed
Well,
that
I mean, the
moment,
game, I'm looking at the box score. There was no moment in which it would have made sense to leave. The game was up for grabs all the way, start to finish, until it went into overtime. So that's on
exactly.
you.
Zero sense.
Yeah.
It is on me and Jaron.
Yeah.
Him and I were texting. I'm texting him. He's back home in D.C. And I'm saying, hey, look, I'm about to talk about this. And he's doing the whole rundown in our chat. Like, dude, we were idiots. We left. The parking lot exploded. Yeah, that was on us, man.
Totally. All right. Be good, thug. Moment. I'll talk to you later. Let me get to another one. Bob in Ocean City. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, your memory's fantastic, Kevin. I got to give it to you. Listen.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's as I get older, I'm starting to. The problem is, I can remember 30 years ago. I can't remember what I did yesterday. That's the bigger issue.
Amen,
but go ahead.
Brother. First game, 8 years old. So I'm 70 years old now because I remember when it was called DC Stadium. It was just the aura, the smell. You hit it on it earlier. I sat in the end zone in 120, third row, all Washington Star tickets. We knew everybody. Fantastic games. The Eddie Brown game.
Oh, yeah.
In the rain. Where we
the mud game. Yeah. Okay. Against the Cardinals.
Got a ball that day. We third row because we had seven balls in our family because we had 18 tickets in a row. Lots of footballs in the family. We're
wow.
always there. Cowboy games, insane. Off the chart.
Yep.
Intimidating Harvey Martin. Talking about he had to see Mr. Ray because he was bald and Randy White had to tell him who was Mr. Ray over there in PG County.
Yeah, but remember
like
Harvey Martin when Theismann, you know, took the safety on Monday Night Football in 78, ran through the back of the end zone, taunting the Cowboys. Later that year on Thanksgiving, the Cowboys crushed Washington and Harvey Martin threw a wreath into the locker room. Remember that? That was not
He must have bought it at Mr. Ray's shop because I tell you what, we had him jacked up. Everybody in the stands are picking on him. Everybody picked on the Cowboys. Everybody picked on a different man. I just remember Charlie Taylor beating so many quarterbacks for them and talking to Sonny Jurgensen over the years. So many great times, Kevin.
Incredible
I the
times.
New stadium brings great memories for the future for us.
And it'll be for a younger generation, but I hope, you know, look, I've got three boys. They never experienced that. Never. You know, taking them to FedEx or them going to FedEx on their own, it just, there isn't one game in the history of FedEx Field that I can think of that rivals, you know, the bottom 15 of big games at RFK. Now, the game that was hyped wasn't the Cowboy-Redskin game at the end of 2012. The following week, for some reason, that playoff game against Seattle, it was insane. But nothing like RFK.
Oh, yeah.
Denton's made accommodations to join us at 11. So we'll keep taking calls. I see all of you there. Stay there. Share a story, an RFK story, as the stadium's being demolished. And at the same time, the finalization of the RFK new stadium agreement / act was finalized yesterday. More of your calls next.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is finally official. The Washington Commanders are returning home to Washington, D.C. The D.C. City Council voted 11-2 yesterday to approve the RFK Stadium revival project. Now work can get underway for the target date of 2030. Plus, the Nats, they fall yesterday by a score of 9-4 to the Atlanta Braves. Brad Lord with 5 1/3 innings pitched, giving up 6 hits and 2 earned runs. Another day, another game blown by the Nats bullpen, allowing 12 hits through the final 4 frames. Nats with an off night tonight. They will kick off their weekend series versus the Mets tomorrow. That'll be at 7:10 pregame with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler at 6:40 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It looks like Washington, I was right, Denver Raiders 19 times on Monday Night Football, Washington Dallas 17 times. Those are the two most common matchups. That's according to AI. I don't know why Monday Night Football, why the Wikipedia page doesn't list the most common matchups, but I'll go with that. I know for a long period of time, those were the top two matchups on Monday Night Football. I wonder if in recent years, something has moved ahead of it. Maybe. 301-230-0980. All right, let's get through these calls. Give me your number one RFK memory. RFK's being demolished. It's almost done. They're in the final stages of it. Yesterday, simultaneously with the stadium being demolished, they got this second and we think final vote in. The team is going back to D.C. In 5 years. Let's go to our guy Lap in D.C. Lap, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Thanks for taking
the call. How are you,
man? All my memories as a kid was just great, man. Just remember just the atmosphere, you know, the stadium rocking, because my grandfather was a season ticket holder for, like, I don't know how many, over 20 years, and he always used to take me. But the one game I always remember, which I, you know, looking back at it now, was so dope, that the 96 game against the Niners and the Redskins, when we lost in overtime. But, you know, Brian Mitchell was in that game. Jerry Rice
that
was in that game. T.O.
Such
Steve
a
Young,
great
man,
game.
Just to see that, man. Yeah. And we lost in overtime.
Steve Young. I had Steve Young on the show, I don't know, 10 years ago. That was such a memorable game, because remember, that was the team that started out 7-1, the Norv team that really started off really well, and then obviously caved at the end of the year, and we ended up with a meaningless, you know, final game at RFK. But that game against the 49ers, Steve Young remembered it vividly. He said there was something special about RFK, and he remembered it as a, you know, chilly, damp, gray afternoon, and the stadium was rocking, and the 49ers won that game in overtime. Yeah. Great game.
Great game. And we used to bring the pita sandwiches. My grandfather used to make the pita sandwiches, and we just bring them into, sneak them into the stadium. So, those was great memories. So hopefully we get some new ones, bro.
Appreciate that. Look, I've said this before. These last five seasons in Landover have a chance to be the most memorable five seasons in Landover. Right? I mean, there have not been many, you know, Titanic games played in that stadium by our team, but maybe, it will probably triple, if not quadruple, the number of big, important games in that stadium over the next 5 years. That's certainly in play. Let's go to our guy Chad in Nashville. Chad, go ahead.
Okay, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Chad.
So, look, man, I'm 32, right? So, obviously, I was just born right after they won a Super Bowl. My father, I'm a fourth generation. I've told you before, great-grandmother, Native American Skins fan. My dad and pop used to go to all those games. They had season tickets. And my dad used to tell me, he coached Tim Strachan. I don't know if you know who that
DeMatha.
Is.
DeMatha, yeah.
Yeah, DeMatha, yeah. He was my grandfather started the organization Maplewood, the boys club.
Wait, and what's your father's name?
Kevin Laverne, and his dad was Kenneth Laverne.
Okay. I'm very familiar with Maplewood. Two of my boys played Maplewood. Maplewood's legendary Montgomery County for football. So many guys that are listening right now have had their kids play at Maplewood or have coached at Maplewood. But go ahead, give me your RFK story real quickly.
Yeah, so he used to talk to me about the replacement game and the replacement player. See, a lot of people don't know the movie The Replacements was actually a true story based off.
Yeah, it is.
Story.
Yeah.
Lose.
Yeah.
And
the 87
team. Yes. And he said that he remembered they showed up late. They used to always be early, but they showed up late. And they were going in, and he remembered all the replacement players showing up and them getting cussed at, stuff thrown at
them. Oh, yeah.
And my pop was like, are you kidding me? Like, my pop was just like, he was laughing at the time as a kid, but my pop was like, are you serious? Like, he couldn't believe it. And he used to tell me how the stands would shake. You would think it was going to collapse and that it was like kind of scary, but it was amazing. Like, you couldn't hear yourself. You could hear it from miles away. And I wish I can get that. I will say my cousin said that the Falcons game last year was the best game he had ever been to. They've gone to.
Yeah, I wasn't there that Sunday night game, but I heard it was great. Chad, I got to move on. I want to get some people in here, and I got to break here in about 3 minutes. Appreciate the call as always. Let's go to our guy Dennis in Frederick. Dennis, go ahead.
Oh, goodness, Kevin. So many memories, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm going to tell you about one football game, and it was a playoff game. I think it was 84. It was against the Bears. This was before the Bears won it all at RFK, muddy day. I was in an end zone, and most of the stuff that happened was in the other end zone. But one play was the Bears had the ball at about midfield. Willie Gault does a pretty simple slant in. Darryl Green is on him. Darryl Green slips. Yeah. Willie Gault gets it, runs for a touchdown. That night I am watching. I don't know if it was George Michaels or whatever, but they got Willie Gault on there. And Gault is saying, this after the game, he says, yeah, I got the ball, and the only guy who could have caught me fell. So I knew I was going to score. And it was awesome to have watched that.
There was a fake a halfback option. Walter Payton threw a touchdown pass in that game, and that was the game. By the way, Washington had gone to two straight Super Bowls. 84, they won the NFC East again on the final Sunday of the season, beating the Cardinals. Neil Lomax and company, Roy Green, beat them in a close game to win the NFC East, and then that was the beginning of the Bears. You know, next year was the 85 Bears, but they sacked, I'm looking it up right now, they sacked Theismann a bunch of times in that game. Their defense was awesome. 7 sacks in that game. Theismann got sacked by, how many did Richard Dent have? Richard Dent had 3, Dan Hampton 2 of the 7 sacks, and that was, the Bears went on to lose to the 49ers the next week, but the following season was lights out. The 85 Bears, that defense, I think the all-time best. Thanks for that, Dennis. Let's go to Billy in Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning. I have 2 great ones. The first was I was a member of the Chantilly 1977-78 Chantilly Youth Association soccer program. Played at halftime of the Washington Diplomats game. The grass was about 9 inches deep. My brother, also on the team, does a cross. I do a header goal in front of probably the 800 people.
What about something that isn't necessarily about your athletic exploits?
Well, Kevin, it's always about me.
I've noticed that over the years.
We were huge fans. My dad was nowhere near the means, obviously, that the Sheehan family was, so we very rarely got tickets, but somehow managed being resourceful as he was and raising 2 great kids, managed to get tickets to the seat cushion game, went to the seat cushion game. I throw my cushion. It's on its way down. My brother is more nostalgic, wants to keep his cushion. I point over to the left, look free beer. He looks to the left. I grab his cushion, fire his cushion. I didn't hear the end of it. The whole ride back to Chantilly, but a hell of a
You're one thing, if not anything else. You are consistent because almost every story involves your brother, your father, and beer. Love you. Good memory, Billy. Appreciate that. Let's go to Ross in Tampa. Ross, finish it up for us.
Hey, Kevin, I'll make it real quick. I know I'm up against the clock. Yesterday reminded me so much of that story that you told about the Maryland coach where, like, you guys had an event going on, and at the final second, he's like, yeah, I need more money. Stretched you guys out. And it was like, oh, I'm just playing. Let's do this.
Yeah, lefty.
That's pretty much what D.C. or whoever was responsible because of the tree situation was doing because it didn't seem that dramatic.
It's done. 11-2. Like, we're good. Give me a memory from RFK.
Well, since I'm young enough to be your son, I don't have no memories, but I'm just glad I got to drive by it last summer. I'm super excited about it. I just hope that it's something similar to the renderings that we saw in January. This is something that I'm really excited about, and I can't wait to see until the official renderings.
It's going to be great for so many of you guys that didn't get to experience, you know, what we got to experience at RFK. And, you know, I do think there are going to be some pretty cool experiences in Landover over the next few years. Let's give Gary a shot to finish it up. Gary, go ahead. Thanks for holding, by the way.
Hey, Gary and Frederick, 66 years old.
Yep.
I was at the game when Frank Robinson hit two grand slams against the Senators. I think it was 67, 68. It was awesome. I mean, even though we were Senators fans. And the other game I remember is the Rams playoff game where we won 19-7. And Jess Atkinson kicked four field goals. And it was Christmas Eve.
Yep.
And we were in the end zone by the Longines clock. And those end zones would literally throw you up in the air. They rock so much. And Eric Dickerson took off for a long run away from us, and Daryl Green caught him.
Yeah.
And that was awesome, 19-7. It never got above 32 degrees on Christmas Eve, but we went out of there warm and happy.
Yeah, it was cold and it was a wild card game. You know, back then there was just one wild card game per conference per weekend, and Washington had to win that wild card game, and then they went on to Chicago the next week to win, and then they got beat by the Giants in the NFC title game. Great memories. Appreciate all of you who called. Those of you who I didn't get to, sorry about that. We will certainly have, over the coming months and coming years, more opportunities to talk about RFK as we see the development of this new stadium. Denton's going to join us next, talk a little college football. Maryland's got a big one. First conference game, first road game as a 3-0 team with a quarterback that a lot of people are talking about. We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.